Let's get to the lesson. And we're at lesson 48 out of 56, so we're nearing the conclusion of the matter. Talking about the two separate groups of churches toward the end of the period when there was an overlap. Israel was diminishing and there were less and less emphasis in the Bible on Israel, and it was less and less likely, or it was just as possible, I guess, but it was less and less likely that Jews would become believing body of Christ members by believing Paul's gospel as the freedom, you know, was more, the liberty was more evident. In other words, they were holding back. They were accommodating the Jews by not eating pork in front of them and things like that, that would stunt them, that would, well, it says that they could perish if they try and do some of the things that are against the law, the Mosaic law for Jews, and they see Pauline believers, how do you put it, body of Christ believers, mystery gospel believers, they see them eating it because they do have the liberty to eat what they want. We do. They did. So those kind of problems are throughout those first six epistles, and that's why we need to identify to whom they were written. That we, like he was saying about Galatians, we're not in Galatians. By the time you get to, well, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he hadn't been sent to all people yet. He hadn't received the temple vision yet that he was going to be sent to all people. So, but then when you come to 1st Corinthians, 2nd Corinthians, and Romans, he does make mention of all people. He doesn't go preaching to them yet, according to what was recorded in the scriptures anyway. But he does make mention. For instance, 2 Corinthians 5:19, Romans 11:26 and 27, and so all Israel shall be saved. And then down at verse 32 or 33 in 11, it says he has condemned them all so they all might be saved. I forget the exact term there. Let's get. Thank you, Delta. Okay, I'm rabbit trailing here. All right, we're going to get to the lesson. We want to see the separateness of these two groups. The body of Christ churches, which Paul calls the churches of the Gentiles in Romans 16:4, and then the churches of Judea, those two groups. And we saw some earlier about the interaction between them. You can't interact with yourself. So there were two groups interacting there in Acts 15, as seen in Galatians 2. The body of Christ churches did not come from Israel's church. And here in the following verses, we can see the beginning and the development of the body of Christ, totally separate from any help or input from man in general or from Israel. And the verses are on the screen. Let's start with verse 3 in Acts 9. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So Paul's salvation event, his salvation there on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, was later described and explained in 1 Timothy, verse 16. And we'll read that and see there, and in Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12, we'll see what happened that day on the road to Damascus. 1 Timothy 1:16, Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern. It was for a pattern that he waited and waited until the right time for Paul, to save Paul. When he appeared to him, it was a critical time. He was getting ready to slaughter more Christians. Well, I shouldn't say more Christians, more believers in Israel's kingdom gospel, excuse me. So it was for a pattern to those who would turn out to be us, to them which should hereafter, or after Paul, believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul says that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Well, in Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12, we see where he got his gospel and why he what he preaches about. It says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is certifying and validating that his gospel is different. It's not the one that was preached before by the 12 apostles. Christ revealed to Paul that he should go to Jerusalem, to those who were of reputation, that seemed to be pillars, it said, of Israel's apostles and elders gathered there in that would be in Acts 15, in order to communicate to them the gospel which Paul preached among the Gentiles. For that reason, the Lord revealed it to him that he should go up there. What was the gospel that Paul preached among the Gentiles? Was it that the kingdom is coming from heaven to earth? And repent from going away to other gods and believe the Messiah is coming to rule on earth? No, that's Israel's gospel. It's nothing like that for us. The gospel is different. The promise of the gospel is different. They were promised the land. We're promised heaven. So, let's look in Galatians 2, verse 2, and then we'll jump down to verse 7. Galatians 2, 2, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Verse 7, the two Gospels are here. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, and then we get the two apostleships here, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And they're going to the circumcision. There, I hope somebody has sound. Did it all fail, or is there still sound? Good. Their going to the circumcision includes who they write to, who they write exhortations and admonitions to in the Hebrew epistles, and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all written by Israel's disciples and apostles. So, separately, Israel's church was to be the receiver of the kingdom out of heaven, separate from anything having to do with the body of Christ. There's no mention of the body of Christ when these promises and details were described. Look in Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee... Oh, before I start, there's another verse I inserted, so coming after Matthew 16, 18, we're going to look at Matthew 21, 43. But starting with Matthew 16, 18, And I say unto thee that thou, that's not talking about me or the speaker. That's talking away from the speaker. It says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that's not pointing away from him, this, there's this and that, that is a way, this is toward himself, toward the speaker's self. This rock, upon this rock, I will build my church. So, it says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when believers in Israel's doctrine die, that's not going to stop them because they're going to be resurrected. And those that have endured to the end will be have their sins blotted out at that point. Look at Matthew 21:43 about the kingdom. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And we see in Luke 12:32 who gets that kingdom. Jesus Christ said to the 12 apostles, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Later on, I would guess a week later, in the way the flow of Acts, the beginning chapters of Acts goes, but Israel's Acts 2 Pentecost believers were added to the already existing Little Flock Kingdom Church. And we can see the adding of them, and then later in... I think they were added the same day, actually, but they weren't baptized by Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost until Acts 4:31. But in Acts 2:47, it says, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They weren't saved yet. They had to endure to the end. It wasn't the end yet. The Lord added to the church. There was a single church at that time. Just the church that Christ said, I will build my church. The Matthew 16 church. So it was a single group from Matthew 16 through Acts 8. Believers in Paul's preaching were separated. They weren't allowed in the synagogue anymore. We saw that in John 9:22. But all those coming into Christ's pattern of grace that was shown to Paul on the road to Damascus, they became a separated group of believers. And here are four sections of Scripture where we can see the separation of Paul's body of Christ group of believers from Israel's believers. First, we see God... In the synagogues, there were Jews and there were God-fearing Gentiles. And those God-fearing Gentiles are actually prophesied in the Old Testament as being sent by God to provoke Israel to jealousy. And then Paul repeats that again, that's what they were sent for, therefore, in Romans 11:11 and 12, especially Romans 11:11. But we can see those God-fearing Gentiles who decide to follow Paul's and Barnabas's doctrine in Acts 13. And on the screen there, you can see, starting with verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So, before verse 38, he had already preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in verses 28 to 30. And from 31 to 37, he had preached the gospel of God to them, who Jesus was. And now he says, be it known unto you, brethren, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Well, that was new to them. Peter, you know, back in Acts 2, had preached the remission of sins, not the forgiveness. The tense is different. It's a future. Remission is something that holds you over until you get your sins forgiven in the future. Forgiveness is immediate. So there's a difference. That's how the translators knew to translate it, remission. Well, going on in verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There again, the two ways to be justified, one that works and one that doesn't. Didn't. Never did the law of Moses. Nobody could keep it. That's why the law was all right, but the flesh is weak. Nobody could keep the law of Moses. So how does it help people? Acts 13:42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. 43, and when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Okay, they were believing Paul's gospel of salvation. And Paul persuaded them to continue, even though, you know, it was against the Jewish synagogues, the apostate Jewish synagogues. But, you know, keep in your mind, there were apostate, non-believing Jews, the majority, that wouldn't allow Paul's doctrine to continue to be taught in the synagogues, but there were believing Jews, too, the way that God had designed for them to believe that he was the Messiah. Now, this was after he'd gone back to heaven and the kingdom offer was withdrawn, but they still, I should say the at-hand kingdom offer was withdrawn. There was still an offer of future of a future kingdom. But these... Lost my train of thought, sorry. Let's go on. What about in Corinth? In Corinth, the second place we're looking at, that was in Antioch of Pisidia, the first one there. But in Corinth, after preaching in the synagogue, Paul departed thence and entered into a certain man's house. There were many of the Corinthians that heard them. You could hear, it was a house joined hard to the synagogue. They heard and believed Paul's doctrine. And since it was before Paul was sent not to baptize, the believers were baptized, showing as a sign to unbelieving Jews that they believed Jesus is the Son of God, the living God, the risen Messiah. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he was their Messiah that they had been looking for. So in Corinth, let's start in verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now that's definitely the gospel of God, the facts about who Jesus was Christ. But there's a difference. If you look at the verse 4, he persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, and now he's just testifying to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That's the main impact. The Greeks are they're not spectators. They're involved in it. They're there to provoke Israel to jealousy and save some. So they're like a catalyst, maybe you could consider. They help provoke Israel to jealousy and save some, which was what Paul's mission was at that time. Going to verse 6. When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. So that's a double meaning there. Henceforth, that means from then on. I will go, that's future tense. So in the future, he's going to go on to the Gentiles. So he's going to the Gentiles. At the present tense, the Gentiles he went to were the ones that blessed Israel, the ones that had been in the promises by blessing Israel to receive a blessing from God, the Greeks. I will go unto the Gentiles. Those are the Gentiles like us that were not around to bless Israel before Israel fell or was cast away at the end of Acts. Let's go on to verse 7. And talking about Paul at Corinth still. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So, as hard as it was, as much as they were against as much as those Jews were against Paul's message, even the ruler of the synagogue, the chief ruler, believed on the Lord with all his house and were baptized. So again, it was still before, but it was before the temple vision when he was sent not to baptize. And there were other things that went on in that temple vision too. Well, let's look at a third place. Look at Ephesus. Paul taught in the synagogue as long as he was permitted by Israel's apostate, unbelieving leadership. And then he departed from them and separated out the disciples. And he taught them every day in a separate place. Look at the record, starting with Acts 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. That's one place that he got to preach about Jesus being the Messiah longer than 3 Sabbaths. 3 months, it says. And he says he was disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom has a king, and that king is their Messiah. Identifying Jesus. That's the gospel of God. Look at verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he, Paul, departed from them and separated the disciples. Okay, those of you that have believed, we're going up over here. You know, I'll show you when we get out. It says, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So he went to a hall where people were taught, and he apparently rented it, or else Tyrannus offered it. But they were in this separate building, and it says, disputing daily, not just on Sabbaths. It was a concentrated effort then. Look at verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So here we are as late as Acts 19. Paul is still going to the Jews and the Greeks. Still referring to them. You know, still they're still part of his program, his daily functions were. So, Paul's Acts 28 report shows that he knows his doctrine and his groups of believers are different than and separate from Israel's group led by the chief of the Jews. And you can let's look at verse 17 there in Acts 28 verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews, the chief of the Jews together. Remember, he was there when Stephen was standing before the chief of the Jews outside of, that was Jerusalem. The chief of the Jews being the high priest, the council, and the higher ups there. So Paul, this time, he calls together the chief of the Jews. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, Yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Acts 28:18, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. Acts 28:19, and when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. Verse 20, for this cause, therefore, have I called you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. He was preaching a gospel, a different gospel, but now it's the hope of Israel. In Acts 28, Israel's hope had gotten lost in Acts 7. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. They spoke against the Holy Ghost and the words of the Holy Ghost coming out of Stephen's mouth. And they had stoned Stephen. So they fell then. Paul talks about the fall of Israel as being past tense when he writes in Acts 20, writes Romans in Acts 20. But here he says, for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. His preaching of the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God, that was Israel's only hope at that point. They had lost their special status with God. They'll get it back again when the Lord calls them, but that's been nearly 2,000 years now. It's going to happen. Don't doubt. God promised it, it'll happen. But it hasn't happened yet. God is working through the body of Christ today. Acts 28, verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, and this is from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, saying, okay, this is Acts 28, verse 26, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. So you can see there's a blindness coming over them. Verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. They had century after century after century that God was calling them back, and they had opportunity to see, to hear, to understand, and to convert. But they didn't, and it was God's time to act. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And let's look, just before we close, look at Romans 10, verse 17, and a couple others down there, 14, and 1 Timothy 2:6. So starting with Romans 10, 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Paul was sent to preach to them. Look at verse 14 in Romans 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So the salvation of those other than the Jews and the Greeks, that had to wait until Paul could preach to them, until he was sent. He could preach at any time he wanted to, but he did it according to the way he was sent. He was sent first to the Jew and the Greek, and then later on the Lord gave him the go-ahead to preach to all people. Finally, verse 1 Timothy 2 verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. When it became due time, the Lord sent Paul to all people to preach the gospel, that Christ was the ransom for them, that he paid their debt, he died their death on the cross. Believe on Christ to life everlasting. Okay, time for questions. Not my questions. You question, and I'll try and relate it to the Bible and what the Bible says.